Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department that makes sure that the life of your vehicle is taken care of. Great technicians. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. We open the show as the only way we can open it with the Macatrillo rant of the day.
You know, this day, because it's the 43rd anniversary of the Miracle on Ice by the great Al Michaels, of course, who called it. That's what it's about today. The underdog. Just I was looking back on some highlights and Al narrating it. Man, it's still, if that doesn't give you chills, I don't know what does. That was just arguably the greatest moment in sports. If you haven't watched Miracle on Ice, the movie. It's one of the greatest sports movies that you'll ever watch.
No, it was great. I thought Kurt Russell was fabulous in that movie. Matter of fact. I thought he was fabulous in it. And unfortunately, Herb Brooks had passed away before the movie came out. But yeah. So, All right. That's your rant?
Well, that's
normally
that's a happy rant, I guess. But I do have one beef today, so I'll get to that. Just seeing the report today that Carlos Beltran is back now with the Mets. First of all, he's going to be.
But that came out weeks ago.
Yeah, but I guess there was a new column of him actually like back on the job today that Jesse Rogers of ESPN put out. So he's beginning his new role as a special assistant to Mets GM Billy Epler. And he's asked about if he ever thought he'd work for the franchise again. He said, not a chance. That's how the world goes around. Well, yeah, I think it's absolutely embarrassing that, A, he's even in baseball still, not even, let alone with the Mets. I thought it was embarrassing when the Yankees were at first trying to bring him on as a broadcaster on YES, especially right after everything came out with the Astros. And then, of course, he had stepped down as the Mets coach, Mets manager. And now, but now the Mets, you just fired this guy 3 years ago in the wake of the cheating scandal coming out to lead your team, and now you're still going to have him in a front office role? Once again, baseball is getting it its own way. You're trying to make this year as a year of a new, fresh start for the game because you have all these different changes coming in to try to make the game a little bit more exciting. Then you have this coming in with one of your top franchises in the sport. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. Like, what are we doing, Major League Baseball? He needs to be out of the game. And we need to move on and start with this type of fresh perspective. But this doesn't help. This puts you back another couple years.
Don't you feel people should have second chances?
In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. This is not one of them.
I'm just trying to make sure that little Luke and little Mark are okay understanding that Daddy would give him a second chance.
Again, some circumstances, yes, some circumstances, no. I would give my kids a second chance because they're my kids. Carlos Beltran, I would not.
He speaks highly of you.
I mean, he's got some goal units to even be working in baseball in New York. I don't care if it's with the Mets or not.
If the Mets hire him, what's he supposed to do, say no? I mean, the Mets hired him.
And also so for the Mets, too, of course.
That's what I love about these things. What do you think? He was in a room with them for a period of time and released them one by one until they hired him? They obviously was mutually agreed.
I mean, it goes back to our conversation yesterday. Know your place. Know where you are. Know your fan base. This, again, doesn't do it.
By the way, if you could give out the phone number, that would be great.
Yeah, actually, it's now 570-743-9565. 570-743-9565.
Yeah, because somebody did text me today and said, asked, do we still take calls? And
absolutely.
I said, yes. I said, in fact, I cherish taking calls. I love taking calls. So since they did... And to let everybody know, I didn't know the phone number to text to.
There you go. And today's a good day to do it for calls today.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I
said wide open today.
I'm like, I thought I should text them the number. And I thought to myself, I don't know the number. Sorry.
Just a few changes in the digits. The last four is the same.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yes, I did go to the morning workout.
And what was the I'm going to put the over under of guys puking at 3, and I'm going to go with the under.
None.
Really? Oh, that's good. All right.
None.
Well, I guess at this point you'd hope there's probably none because they got a couple of those in by now.
Yeah, I mean, there are different levels of workouts. You know, they did that today. But yeah, no, it would. In fact, I didn't recall seeing anybody today.
Yeah, everybody, that's good.
And everybody that was running around last week was running around this week. And everybody was running around the week before that I saw was running around this week, too.
What'd you think of Bo Pibula today, by the way? Because the question
Bo?
Came to mind just from listening to the update.
Good. Bo's always good.
Yeah. He fascinates me to see what kind of step he can take to this spring.
Look, I am a big Bo Pibula guy. Okay. Now, Drew Aller has that certain... something that you can't teach, and you can see it in how he releases it, how quickly the ball gets out of his hand.
Definitely.
I mean, and Drew has exponentially more accuracy now than he did a year ago. I mean, it's all really good. And he can make, you know, he can put a little air under the ball when he needs to. He can throw the ball on the line. You know, you throw him out there in a flanker screen, boom, that ball gets there, which may pick up an extra yard or two as a head start for a wide receiver in the blockers. Bo has a really good arm himself, moves really well. And look, I'll be honest with you, they get into these drills. Now, Drew, I think, let's see, Bo won today, so that's 5. Drew's won 1, which is great because Drew didn't win any a year ago. So Drew's won 1. Jackson Smolik did well today. There was one drill today where Bo and Drew were matched up, right? And Bo runs this particular drill really well, so it wasn't a surprise. But Drew ran it really well. But then later it was Jackson Smolik, and he went against Bo. I was like, whoa. You got him by a step. Like, okay. It's pretty good. Like, all right. And Jackson is the true freshman that they've brought in. But I am a big Bo Prabula guy. Love the way he throws the ball. Love how he leads. He's got a lot going for him. A lot going for him. Penn State is in good shape at that spot with Drew and Bo. Now, they may, again, Drew has more experience, obviously, than Bo, because Drew was named the number two last year and earned being the number two last year. Earned it. So when they go out and they're going to run ones, as James said, Drew's going to run with the ones. But somebody has to run out with them. Okay. That's fine. And that's what James stated in the press conference, and he's right about that. I mean, somebody's going to run out as the one left tackle. Gee, I think it might be Olu. Okay? But I have a lot of confidence in both those guys. So, yeah. So that's five down, three to go. They'll have one on Friday, and they have two next week, and then it's spring break. All right. Not bad. We'll take a break. Come back more in a moment. Oh, I can't believe the NBA All-Star Game was the least watched ever. Gee, I wonder why.
Oh, my almighty!
Whew, man. And, you know, it's amazing. We're going to talk about Apple being in the... one quick note about Andrew Marchand's article on Apple and the Pac-12. And I'll frame it this way. There have been a lot of stories and rumors about that there was a third interested party in the Pac-12. We've always heard ESPN and Amazon, correct? And one by one, and we already told you, I told you months ago Fox was not interested. I think I said that back in August. That Fox was not going to go after the Pac-12. And then lately CBS and Turner were revealed as not being interested, but supposedly they haven't been interested the whole time. Well, what Andrew did is he revealed who the third one was. There always was this mystery. Who's the third one that was at least showing some interest in it? It's Apple. Now, whether it works, I don't know. Tony Knopp did confirm he is going to be on the show a week from Monday.
Perfect.
So, yeah. See what Tony has to say from the coast. That's going to be interesting. All right. We'll come back more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
28 seconds. The crowd going insane. Carlemont. Back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson. over to Ramsey. Do you let the knock get checked by Ramsey? McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable.
Al Michaels, Ken Dryden. Al Michaels and Ken Dryden. Ken Dryden, unbelievable. No kidding. Hey, no matter what, that is, you can talk about other great upsets in the history of sports, like Chaminade beating Virginia and so forth. That, to me, is the greatest upset ever. A group of college kids from the United States playing a group of absolute professionals that train 11 and a half months out of the year as a team and hadn't lost in years. Years. And guess what? Beat them. 4-3.
And I totally forgot that the Russians crushed the U.S. in an exhibition game at MSG the week before, 10-3.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden killed them. I mean, just crushed them. Yeah. Amazing, huh? So, and that was back in 1980. The game was not live. The game took place at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And ABC, which has always been typical of Olympic coverage, we'll hold it back until 8 o'clock at night. So I was working in college radio at the time. I was down to my last week in college because I graduated. I ended up graduating March 1st of that year. So it was February 22nd. And I was at the college radio station, and I did a sports update, and I knew the score, and I'd read it. It was, when I did the update, it was 2-2 at the end of the first period. And then I was done for the day. I left. So I did not watch or did not get an update on the final and went down and watched it in a sports bar, a place called the Press Box on Pew Street here at State College. And I knew it was, so I'm watching it. It's like, oh, yeah, we tied the game. Well, I knew that part. The rest of it, I didn't know. And then when they, and Tretiak, who was a great goaltender, thought to be a weakness going into the Summit Series in 1972, ended up being a strength. And they chased him, and they put Michigan in the game. And Michigan did a good job. They led 3-2. But then again, the U.S. won. It was, and everything had been going on at that time. President Carter, and I know President Carter is obviously in his last days, but he had said the United States was not going to go to the Olympics in Moscow that summer. The Soviets had invaded Afghanistan, and the country needed a lift, and these kids gave them a lift.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. All with great warranties, by the way. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department that backs all of this up for the life of the vehicle. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 at 15 Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Just want to make sure you're calm, because you're not. If somebody does something wrong, they are dead to you.
I'm good now, yeah.
Just want to make sure.
I said what I had to say about Carlos Beltran, and now we can move on.
Okay, just want to make sure. Let's see. I'm trying to see what the coaches... I know the coaches did put out some of their... who won today in the workout. Let's see. I saw Zakee Wheatley. I remember seeing him. Safeties. I remember seeing Venga Yawane for the offensive lineman. I remember seeing Tank Smith for the running backs. Even though I thought Nick Singleton had a really good day. So don't think Nick didn't have a good day. Nick did. Tank Smith for the running backs. I think Jackson Smolak was the quarterbacks today.
And Wheatley's won multiple times, too, if I remember correctly.
Wheatley's had a couple of them, yeah. Yeah, he's had a couple along the way. But like, for example, like quarterback, I mean, Bo was really, I thought, really good this morning. But, you know, and trying to think of anybody else that I'm trying to do it off the top of my head, because I know they tweeted it out.
And a lot of this, most of this is lifting and conditioning type stuff, right?
No.
Or there's some on the field stuff too.
No. Look, this is push the sled, take the bag of sand.
Yeah.
All right. Then there's the one that I take a long look at, and that is, got to go. Okay, you're one on one with somebody else. Got to go touch the line. Sometimes it's an obstacle course. Sometimes it's around a hoop. It depends on what day they want to do what certain things, where they want to showcase certain things.
There's a lot of. They've got a lot of different things that they do during the course of the workouts. And the coach is like, they're looking for effort. They're looking to see who wins drills. They're looking, they're looking to see if somebody is now pushing somebody else in the drill. Yeah, so there's a lot there to take a look at. All this is done in a, span of about an hour and a half. And then there's, a couple other things that they do along the way. I know Jack called me this morning. We were talking about rules changes and what they're looking at and what they're considering looking at for rules changes in college football. And they're considering running the clock even after an incomplete pass. You have to have an addendum to that. In other words, to me, if a quarterback intentionally clocks it as you're trying to save time at the end of the game, okay. Right, now I think you have to stop the clock. Right now, both college and professional football, they do start the clock once the ball is spotted after a play goes out of bounds. You've seen that in college football. All right. Now, in both college and pro football, they stop the clock on an incomplete pass. They don't restart it till the snap on the next play. So back in September, NCAA coordinator of officials Steve Shaw said that running the clock after a made first down would not save as much as running the clock after incompletions. Okay, well, I understand that. So they're looking at four proposals. But they are still weeks to maybe a couple of months away from being approved. So last year, games took 3 hours and 21 minutes on the average in college football. 321. The NFL average is 313. And I mean, there's some simple ones. One is a proposal that would prohibit consecutive timeouts. Now, that's an NFL rule, and college wants to adopt it. So you don't come out, okay, timeout. Okay, we're going to take another timeout. Okay, they lined up. No. You get one timeout, make it happen, move on. All right? Or I'm going to use all three timeouts right now to ice the kicker. No. Okay. I think that one is going to be an easy one to get through. Prohibiting consecutive timeouts. Another one is eliminating playing an untimed down after a penalty at the end of a quarter. You know, the end of the first and third quarters. Right? In other words, hey, good. Guess what? The first play of the next quarter is going to be this play. I think that one's going to be easy. Another would eliminate stopping the clock on first downs except the final 2 minutes of the game. I think that's going to be easy. The last one's going to be the clock will continue to run after an incomplete pass once the ball is spotted for play. And the exception, again, would be the final 2 minutes of the first half and the final 5 minutes of the second half. So we'll see if that gets through. But again, what's one area? If you're talking about 321 to 313, that's 8 minutes, right? Guess what's 8 minutes shorter than the college game? Let's take a guess. You can do it, Matt.
Tell the NFL, you, right?
No, what's eight? The NFL is an average game in the NFL is 8 minutes shorter. So between the NFL and college, what is 8 minutes shorter? I don't think a lot of people realize this. Halftime.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right.
Halftime. I've talked about this repeatedly. Halftime's 20 minutes in college.
I would love to see that, too.
Okay, 20 minutes. Okay. In fact, New Year's Six bowl game, they're 22. And instead of going to 12, I've said over and over again, how about 14? Because I want to make sure that the blue band gets out there at halftime or the Ohio State band gets out there at halftime so they can do their deal and put on the show because that's important to them and the crowd loves it. But they're only out there X amount of minutes anyway. There's always a lot of dead time, right, after they're done, correct? So why not cut it down to 14 and shave 6 minutes off that way? The NFL's 12. That's probably too short.
Here's another thing, too. I don't know, Steve, how feasible this is going to be, but I just feel like you've got to address how many replays are done during the during a course of a game because
well,
there's some replays that are you know, you have to do it, you know, but there's others that you're thinking of, okay, do we really need to go review this?
Well, I've said repeatedly when it comes to replays is that look, to me, you should have a max of 40 seconds If you can't tell after 40 seconds, you're done. Call stands. Move on. We spend too much time on replays in every sport, seeing if it's if the toe is just in by hair or out. Did it go off a fingernail out of bounds in basketball? It's like, come on.
And sometimes with college football, this happens like on a 2-yard gain or like a 2-yard pass play. We're checking to see if the guy's in bounds. Like, do we really need to do that? If it's a first down, 10, 15-yard play, okay, that's different. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Those unnecessary replays, like, that we got to get rid of.
But I just think they spend too much time looking at a fingernail or a toe.
Yeah, I like that, too. I like 40 because it's about the same time as a play clock. I think that's perfect.
Okay, 40 seconds, and it's automatically off. And I don't want the referee on the field looking at it. I don't want to waste the time of bringing the little TV set out or the little iPad out, whatever, and they're looking at it. Why the heck do you get those people up in the booth for? Okay? They can radio down right now, and they can tell you, good enough. Right?
Absolutely.
Right? And I don't need, in this case, the Big Ten, Chicago involved. Don't need that. And I have nothing but the highest respect for Bill Carollo. But I don't need Chicago involved. It's like with the NFL. New York says, I don't care what New York says. Stop looking for fingernails and toes. I mean, that's... big problem. It's wasting a lot of time. And then let's take it even further, one step further. And again, this will be one that I've talked about many times, so this is not new ground for everybody. I'm getting sick and tired of being in the arena or in the stadium. And I've got access to this, okay? So I can look at the replay. We have a monitor in the booth, all right? But why don't the fans on a consistent basis get to see every replay somebody sees at home? Why? Why is it in the arena? People don't get to see it. Now, so it's catch as catch can. Once in a while in the arena you see it. I don't care what arena. It's just like they were showing there was a replay the other day in the Minnesota Penn State basketball game, and they're showing ads up on the like, oh, for goodness sakes, really? All these people paid all this money to be there. They paid to park. They walked through the cold from their parking garage. They spent money on gas to get there. They bought the tickets. They bought the concessions. The whole thing, you know, they're providing the atmosphere, and yet somebody at home is getting more benefits from something like that compared to the people there. I mean, what are we thinking? I don't understand the thought process behind some of this stuff. Show the people in the arena what you're showing them at home. That way, at least they're sitting there, right, in the stadium or the arena going, okay, okay. Right, one way or the other. Guess what? You paid the freight. You should have the benefit of it. They do the replay thing, and I will say this, some of the replay problem in college sports happens to be on the TV side of it. Let's take two referees, basketball, going over to the monitor. You know, and again, I've talked to enough officials and so forth over the years where I'll say, how many times do you go over there and it's not there? And they go, yeah, enough. See, sometimes they go over there, it's not there. Or they'll go over there, and it's not the one they need, or it's not called up fast enough. I mean, sometimes it's the TV people, you know. That's why when you're looking at for a big, you know, in the Big Ten, and you have officials up in the box, they've got it going on in front of them the entire time. Let them call it. don't bring the little iPad over. And he's like, he's looking. He's like, oh, for goodness sakes, what'd you bring the other guys for? Look at it. You got 40 seconds. It's turned off. Stands is called. Reverse it. Right? Confirmed. Next. We're done. Stop looking for a fingernail. I don't care about a fingernail. It looks like his pinky moved. Really? Make the game move. And some of them, what bothers me is some of them seem so obvious. You're like, oh, for goodness sakes. And I realize once in a while you've got to then, if there's, you know, you're trying to get the clock right. Okay, I understand that. So it'll take a little longer because of it. But I don't need to have somebody in a, is his toe in bounds? Oh, for goodness sakes. I think I see a blade of grass between. Oh, see me. And I've seen a lot, and I've seen more than my fair share of replay mistakes where the replay booth got it wrong. And I've always pointed out one. I remember one, Nick Suke. They're playing Purdue. Ball skipped off the grass. Suke trapped it. And Penn State's player trapped it. It was called an interception in the field. Okay, that's fine. It was called that way. All right, you got the replay. It'll change it. You know, Jack and I are like, okay, it's going to be incomplete. They couldn't find enough evidence to overturn it. Look at each other like they couldn't find enough evidence. What are they talking about? We're just looking at each other like they couldn't find. The ball went off the grass. And this benefited Penn State. I mean, it benefited Penn State. Every once in a while, there are calls that do benefit Penn State, okay? It's like the other night in Minnesota, Garcia got called for a foul. It was his second foul. It was like 4 minutes to go in the half. Matt, he did not commit a foul in the play. We're looking at him going, don't think so. And I think I said something about Penn State really caught a break on that one. They got to take advantage of it now.
Well, in the basketball sense, it's about time.
I'm just saying, though, but you know, when you do a broadcast, you're trying to be accurate.
Right,
accurate, right? It's all about accuracy. All right. We're going to talk about TV and not the fact that Matt throws his remote at the TV.
F-O-U-L-E-G, that spells founder!
Because the teams he roots for just can't quite get it done.
It was a plastic soda bottle one time.
You mean in the last game?
No. It was the 0-3 NFC Championship game against Carolina.
Did you get in trouble?
I did. And I've never done it since.
Wow.
It was right after Deuce Staley dropped the touchdown pass. It was some point in the second half. I can't remember.
Wow. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Andrew Marchand is always on top of media like John Orrand is. Everyone's been hearing there was a third entity that was interested in the Pac-12 and was continuing to have interest. And Andrew did a great job of revealing who the third entity is. And the third entity is Apple. The problem with Apple is this. Apple, there's a couple of levels in terms of the problem about this. Apple is, when it comes to negotiations, is a difficult entity to negotiate with. And you're saying, well, how can you say that? Look at the negotiations on NFL Sunday Ticket. Those were not easy negotiations. And if you're having issues on NFL Sunday Ticket in terms of how difficult and drawn out and protracted the negotiation can be with the NFL, And they're not saying you should just roll over and go, hey, it's the NFL, we'll do whatever. No, you have to negotiate. You got to come up with a deal that works for you. But it's supposedly Apple's pretty tough at the negotiating table. But do you want to have your product on streaming? And I just don't... it's not bad to have some of your product on streaming. For example, the NFL's on Amazon on Thursday nights. But the vast majority of the NFL, except for one game a week, is either on cable or over the air. And to let you know that over-the-air television is far from dead, Fox just had $113 million for the Super Bowl. The Pac-12 had a window in the summer where they could get a good deal, and they bypassed it.